morning, I had an interesting time. I don't know about you, but I have a routine where I wake up, go and pray, have breakfast, get ready, come to church. So about this morning, about half an hour after I normally get up, I get this kick. Open my eyes and it's morning, and apparently the alarm had gone off and I turned it off and I can't remember any of that. And then I went to walk out the door and I felt, oh, I haven't had a shave. And I had my glass in my hand. I get to church, my glasses are nowhere, they must be at home somewhere. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And then we're in the worship. It's like the Holy Spirit just said to me, who's in control? See, and there's nothing wrong with being organized. There's nothing wrong with planning. But I want to ask you the same question that the Holy Spirit asked me. Who's in control? Who's in control of your life? Is it us or is it Him? This month we're going to talk about the supernatural. And the thing is, we can love the Lord, we can live a good Christian life, but ultimately if we want to see the things and experience the things that Jesus did when He walked this earth, it comes down to who's in control. Is it Him or is it us? Because those things can only happen when we relinquish control and He takes control. So Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us standing here today. Lord, You know our hearts, You know our motives. And Lord, I pray that just like You perform supernatural acts that came from intimacy with Your Father and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through Your life. And I pray, Lord, that that would be us. Thank You, Lord. Amen. If you'd like to take a seat. Could we have that supernatural slide up? Thank you. Very good. So I managed to borrow, after trying on Melissa's glasses and they were no good, and then Janice's glasses, I just didn't look good in them. And then Mark's, I was like, whoa. So now I've got Charlie's glasses. Oh, you all look like Kiwis. But I can read. Now you look normal again. It's great to have Danielle and Todd here with us today. The Harlins and the Werner family joined together to make Mr. and Mrs. Werner. And they're doing an awesome job at Wodonga. And it's great to have you guys here. Yeah. Right. So, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to have it up on the screen as well. But from the New King James Version, because there's some slight different wording in there that I want to bring out. So over this month of Jesus and the supernatural, there's 5 Sundays in March, and we're going to be talking about Jesus and the supernatural as we work our way through the Gospels this year, about being a true disciple. What does that look like? And just as I said before, everything that Jesus did when He was on earth, He did as a human. And we need to understand that. And the thing about him that was extraordinary was his intimacy with his Father. Yes, he was the Son of God, but when he came to earth, he emptied himself of his deity, and he was born as a baby. He was a human, and he went through everything that we go through. He understands our weaknesses, our testings, our temptations, because he went through that in his human form. And yet he performed healings and miracles and supernatural acts, but we've got to remember he was a human man. And it was intimacy with his Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, that there was 30 years of preparation. And then when he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and as he come up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down and descended on him in the form of a dove. And the heavens opened, and his voice came from heaven and said, "This is my Son who I'm well pleased." And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was after that that his ministry commenced. So the example of that is that you and I can live a supernatural life if we have intimacy with our Father and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Let's close in prayer and go home and do it. But that's what it boils down to. If you're sitting here today and say, "I could never do that," well, then you don't understand what is available to you. And if you say, "Well, I've tried that and it didn't work," well, persistence. That's the word for you. And if you're here today and you think, "Well, I'm not in that space," then you can be. And you can have a relationship with Jesus and intimacy with the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, all those things are available to us. So if you don't know Jesus, you can. If you don't have an intimate relationship with the Father, you can. It comes back to priorities and time. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you can seek him and ask him for that. See, everything's available to us. And sometimes the only thing that stops us is what's going on up here in our own minds. So let's look at this story in Luke chapter 7 and bring some points out that I hope encourages you today to propel you towards a supernatural life. So this is Jesus raises the widow's son. This is the story. And in Luke 7:11, it starts off by saying, "Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And so he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Then came fear upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region." Wow, what a story. All right, so let's set the scene. You've got a funeral procession. And it's traveling along, coming out of the city, and it would have been a narrow road. You've got a distraught mother, and the Bible says that she's a widow, so she's lost her husband at some stage, and now she's lost her only son. A widow with no one to care and look after her and to provide an income basically means widow equals beggar. That's what it meant. So not only did this woman lose all the men that were in her life and that she loved, and that was her, in a sense, her financial security, all that's gone now. And she's destined to a life of being a beggar. No wonder she was distraught. It's bad enough when you have to go through the agony of losing someone, but then to be in a financial mess on top of that. She was distraught. She was weeping as the funeral procession came out. And in those days, she would have had family and friends, but they had what you call professional mourners. And they would be wailing. What a job that would be. Can you come to our funeral and wail? Crikey. But that's what would have happened. That would have been the scene. There's this throng of people coming out and the coffin and all these people weeping and wailing and mourning. A lot different than what you would imagine a funeral to be here. So that's the scene. This is coming out of the city, and then there's this other crowd coming towards the city. You've got Jesus, you've got his disciples, and a crowd that's with him. And one person that I read about this week described it as the Prince of Life collides with the procession of death. What a great scene. The Prince of Life collides with the procession of death. Now, if you've ever seen a funeral procession that happens here, I was coming back from Mount Major last Friday and there was a funeral pulling into Pine Lodge. And so you've got this great row of cars with their lights on. And in the olden days, you used to give way to all that. Everyone would stop and allow the funeral procession to go in. These days, that doesn't really happen. So there's this funeral procession pulling in there, and that's the sort of funeral procession we think of today, you know, moving from the church to the cemetery or whatever. So this funeral procession is just a throng of people. And Jesus comes and they collide, and it's an, you imagine on a narrow road, two crowds coming together, one has to give way to the other. So you would think out of courtesy and out of tradition that Jesus and his disciples and the crowd would have stepped off the road and let the funeral procession come through. That would have been etiquette. That would have been the nice thing to do and the considerate thing to do. Did that happen? No. Jesus, he does some stuff here that you think, man, where did this come from? See, Jesus, he could have felt sorry for the lady. It talks here that he had compassion. So we know that he had compassion and he felt sorry for her. And he could have just pulled off the road and I'm so sorry for this lady. I'll be praying for her. He could have left it at that. But he didn't. Instead, he walks up right into the middle of this procession where the woman was, and he does four things. The first thing he says, do not weep. Doesn't he understand what this woman's going through? Doesn't he understand that she's lost everything? Doesn't he understand that this is what you're supposed to do when you grieve? And he says to her, do not weep. So it's like he's coming in and he's overriding the whole situation. Everything that's supposed to happen in the natural, he comes in and now he's about to turn everything on its head. And he says to her, do not weep. He had compassion. He felt for her. He knew what she was going through. But he says, do not weep. The second thing is he goes up and he touches the coffin. Now, I've got to confess, I've done a number of funerals and there's been times where I've gone up and I've laid hands on the coffin. Not all the time because you don't always get that opportunity, but I've gone up and I've laid hands on the coffin and I've prayed, Holy Spirit, the same power that was available to raise Jesus from the dead is in me. And Lord, I know that you can raise this person from the dead. I know that you can do it. So I'm praying that if that's your will, do it. Because wouldn't the best funeral you could ever go to is if there's a knock on the coffin, you open up the lid and this person jumps out healed and whole. Wouldn't that be an amazing scene? So I've done that. It hasn't happened yet. But doesn't mean if I get the opportunity, I won't stop trying. He goes up and he touches the coffin. If a rabbi touched a coffin in those days, they would be unclean. So once again, everything that Jesus was doing was against the grain, was against tradition, was against what people expected. He would have been unclean. But who would have thought about that if you're going to raise someone from the dead and it happens? The last thing you're going to think about, oh, you shouldn't have done that, you're unclean. So he's turning everything on his head, on its head. Now, the coffin was not a wooden coffin like we are used to today. They just didn't have the money for that. In the King James, it talks about it was an open coffin. And what that looked like was there'd be two poles and people carrying the poles, and it'd be like this open basket. And they would carry that to the grave and basically tip the body in. So he goes up to this open coffin, and the man would have been in there, and he touches the coffin. The third thing he says, or he does and says, is arise. You've got to have faith to do that. You've got to have faith. I mean, when I've gone and laid hands on the coffin, I haven't done it in the middle of the ceremony with everybody there. Because you get this thought, if this doesn't happen, what you've got to be considerate of these grieving people and what they're going through. But Jesus didn't worry about any of that. And he goes up in the middle of the funeral procession and says, arise to the young man. I mean, what would happen if it didn't happen? But it did. The young man sits up. Can you imagine the crowd? You imagine the mum? It'd be like, oh, her whole world has changed. She would go from weeping and wailing and mourning and sorrow to joy unspeakable. Because her son has returned. Her whole life has been changed. Arise. And the young man arose and sat up and began to talk. And then Jesus presented him to his mother. The family was restored. And I felt the Holy Spirit wants to speak to some people today. He wants to restore your family. This woman lost her son. And you may be sitting here and you feel like your kids are still alive, but some of them may be lost. Or it could be another family member. And you feel like, I've prayed and I've prayed, nothing's happened. But supernaturally, God can do anything. Do you believe that? And often he uses our prayers and our persistence and our not giving up. There's a South African over there this week told me that she is where she is today with the Lord because of a praying grandmother. Did I get that right, Jondre? Yeah, I did. And I really felt the Holy Spirit really highlighted this because we're talking about an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's so relevant for us today. He wants to restore families. Don't give up praying for those people that you want to see in relationship or to come back into relationship with the Lord and see families restored. Don't give up. Don't stop praying for that. This family was restored. Not only did she have a son back who she loved and now she could have a relationship with, but it also meant that she wouldn't be a beggar anymore because her son would work and provide for her. It changed her whole life. It changed her whole future. Wow, what a scene. Now, this scene happened in a town called Nain. When I first read it, I thought it was Nan, but it's actually pronounced Nain. When Melissa and I lived in Tasmania, we had a pastor called John Nan. And we used to go to his singing life group. Steph, you wouldn't remember this. You and James and Heidi, we'd take you every week to the singing life group, to Pastor John's place, John Nain. And we'd put you in bed and he'd pull out his guitar and he made good coffee. That was another reason. And all the life group would get together and just, we'd sing. And the guitar would start us off and then the guitar would stop and we'd all sing a cappella. After we'd warmed up and got our diaphragms right, you guys would have loved coming to that life group. So that was John, Pastor John Nan. But this happened in Nain, a town called Nain, where Jesus supernaturally raises a young man to life. And you think, wow, that's wonderful. But let's look at the history, because just around the corner from there, there's another town called Endor. And 1,000 years previous to that, there was a spiritualist medium in that town called the Witch of Endor. And many of you would know the story, is that Saul, King Saul, goes and consults this medium because he's so desperate, he doesn't know what to do, because he'd always go to Samuel, the prophet, the man of God, to ask for his advice, well, most of the time. And he didn't know what to do. So she calls up the spirit of Samuel so Saul can understand what he has to do. And Samuel just basically says, what are you doing, Saul? You're going to die. And he did. So Nain, Endor, they're all on this Mount Moray, this area. And then just around the corner from that, there's a little village called Shunem. And 900 years previously, so 100 years after the Witch of Endor story, which was in 1 Samuel 28, there's another story in 1 Kings 17 about the prophet of fire, Elijah. And this young man, this boy, is up in the upper room of this widow's house. And he's died. And the prophet Elijah goes up and he lays on him 3 times. And the young boy comes back to life. So you need to understand, Jesus didn't perform some random act of raising someone from the dead, because there's plenty of opportunities when he could have done that, and it was very few times that he did. But he did that in this place called Nain, where you've got Endor and Shunem and all these places around there, where this whole area was fascinated with the dead and contacting the dead and people raising from the dead. This was the area where there was folklore about that. And Jesus chooses to do this right there in that place called Nain. It says there towards the end of that fear came upon them all and they glorified God. I don't think every one of them had a healthy fear. I think some of them would have had a fear of, what on earth just happened? What is going on? Because when the dead is raised, that's going to challenge a lot of people's thinking. You might be here today and think, Jesus can raise the dead? That's amazing. What about people that don't believe in that sort of thing? That maybe would have been there and witnesses to what had happened? You ever heard of an annihilation theory? That means that people think that when you die, that's it. That's the end. It's like you're annihilated. There's no afterlife. There's no nothing. It's finished. It's over. Some people believe in the annihilation theory. Now, the thing about that is, once you're dead, there's no judgment. You can live a life and you can do anything you want. And when you die, there's no judgment. So in a sense, it doesn't really help you, because it's like you can live your life with no conscience whatsoever. So imagine if you believed in that, and then all of a sudden you see someone who is dead, they're annihilated, their life is finished, it's over, and all of a sudden, boom, they sit up in a coffin. What would that do to your thinking, to your mindset? What about the people that believe there's no resurrection? Wouldn't that blow your mind, your theory and your mindset? See, death is not annihilation. Resurrection from the dead happened in the Bible a number of times, but the Bible also talks about at the end, we will go to meet him and those that are dead will be resurrected. Every one of us needs to understand that we may die, we may not, but if we do, there will be a resurrection. And everyone that has died previously, there will be a resurrection. And the ultimate end of that resurrection is there is a judgment. See, each and every one of us will stand before our Maker, and Jesus will judge what we did on this earth, the intent of our heart, the choices that we made. See, we can't just die and it's all finished and forget about it. So what we did, if we didn't live a good life, it doesn't matter. So I hope that this stirs you today to understand that everything we do, there's a consequence attached. And I hope that when I get to meet him and he makes a judgment on my life, that because of my relationship with him and the things that I did, not in my own strength, not because I was in control, but because it was through intimacy and the power of the Holy Spirit leading, guiding my life, that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I go and enter into that rest and that presence of the Lord, which is going to be amazing and beautiful and even probably 1,000 times better than what we experienced this morning. And how good was that? I hope that we are all in that place rather than, like Melissa said last week, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me. So this would have stirred up some emotion and some feelings. And there would have been people that praise God because the Messiah was there. Jesus was there. Ah, bless the Lord. I'm going to ask the band to come back now. And I want us to think about this. Number one, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you haven't asked him into your life, there's no intimacy with Father God, there's no relationship connection, you can change that today by one decision, one choice. You may not understand it all. You may not have it all figured out. And that's why it's a step of faith to supernaturally say, I'm going to give my life over to you, Lord, for you to take control. And what that looks like is I don't really know. But that's the first step. You don't have to figure it all out. Because there'll be people here that have been walking with the Lord for 50 years and they're still figuring it out. So if that's you, I want you to come and respond today. And understand that the decision that you make today affects your eternity forever and ever and ever, and it does not end. But you might be in another category this morning. The category of, I've already done that, and I love God and I've seen some good things happen in my life. But I want to walk more like Jesus walked. I want to be seeing the supernatural things happen in my life and in this church and in this community like happened in Jesus' time when he walked this earth. And what does that look like? Well, it could be some choices for you. I don't want you to think, if I pray more, if I do this more, if I, it'll happen. It's not like that. If you feel you have to pray more out of duty, then you'll start and it won't last and it'll drop off. But if the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you about this, and there's a stirring within your heart, and there's like there becomes a greater love for the Word and a greater love for prayer and a greater love for intimacy, then go for it. But if you're trying to force something, it's not going to happen. It's like a diet. So I need to lose some weight. I'm going on a diet. And I start on Monday. By Friday, it's all over. I can't be bothered anymore. That's what it'll be like. Ever done that? Or is it just me? It can't be a forced thing, or it won't last. So I pray, if you're desiring to have a greater love for the Word, because maybe reading the Word's a bit challenging for you, or a greater love for prayer and intimacy and spending time with the Lord, because that sometimes is just so hard, then begin to seek Him and desire Him. And I pray that He will change your heart and your thinking so that that becomes something that you long to do and you love to do, and it's not a chore or a duty. And the more time you spend with the Lord, the more sensitive you become, the more open you become to His voice and His leading. And that's got to have an impact on the everyday life that you lead and how you walk it out. You see, when Jesus walked along, He could have looked at that funeral procession as an interruption. As I have to be at this place at this time, and I haven't got time for this, and just step aside and let them go and get on with my plans and what I've got planned for the day and what I have to do. Nearly everything Jesus did was just along the way. There wasn't many things that He did inside a synagogue, but most of it was along the way. The stuff that just happened during the day, the interruptions. So this morning, I just pray, if there's a desire within you to want to walk more in the supernatural than what you've seen so far, I pray that as we worship today, that there's just a longing within your heart to say, Lord, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. And if you would like prayer for any of those things, you can come out the front, or you can just stand and reach out where you are. But my heart today is that becoming a true disciple, becoming more like Christ, is seeing what He did and want to do what He did. Amen. Let's all stand, begin to worship the Lord.